I'm Jen Taylor Skinner, and this is The Electorate. On this episode, I have a conversation with Beatrice Lopez, the Deputy Director of Immigration Hub, an organization dedicated to advancing fair and just immigration policies. Beatrice joins me to discuss the GOP's multifaceted misinformation machine, a machine that fuels their messaging around immigration, specifically their anti-immigration messaging. The truth is that most Americans are in favor of a balanced, humane approach to fixing the immigration system. Despite that, Republicans keep pushing cruel and inhumane policies in hopes that scaring voters will help them win at the ballot box. Beatrice and I discuss the Republican strategy and how Democrats can counter that strategy by appealing to voters' desire to end the chaos at the border and by leaning into our shared values as Americans. So, please enjoy my conversation with Beatrice Lopez. Beatrice Lopez, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the news has been moving really quickly on immigration policy and reform. So I want to get started by getting a sense of what's happening right now, because like I said, things are moving so quickly. Democrats and Republicans were close to reaching a deal on border policy, a deal that included, I think, some aid to Ukraine. And that was, of course, kind of usurped by Trump, right? I don't find that totally surprising that he kind of disrupted those negotiations, right? Because he thinks it will help him. But what was surprising is that Republicans came to the table at all. Because from my understanding, their stance on immigration is that there is no immigration. They don't want immigration. They also don't want aid to Ukraine. They don't want either. So I want to know, what was in that package that was beneficial for Republicans?
Currently, the situation in Congress is that we have a bipartisan group of folks, Senator Lankford, who is representing Republicans. And he has always pushed for something on immigration to happen. In fact, one of the proposals that he had earlier last year was HR2, as we know offhandedly, HR2, that he worked on with somebody else on the House side as well. And he worked with other Republicans. And it is an egregious proposal. Let's just start there. So Senator Lankford has this bill. A lot of the policies in there are very much Trump-era policies, very extreme, talks about gutting the asylum system, basically shutting the border down so asylum seekers cannot apply for asylum. There's other provisions in there that include family detention, other things that just fast-track deportations from the border back to countries where people are fleeing dangerous situations. It's basically the wish list of Trump. And if you're familiar with Stephen Miller, sort of like the Voldemort of the immigration side, he is the one that we shall all speak of, but that is always there.
Of course.
So Lankford goes into this negotiation because basically they want to tie this Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan funding with this border deal. They say to Biden, if you want this deal, if you want funding for Ukraine and others, then you have to have something on immigration because immigration is a national security issue, et cetera. They love to play hardball on these things. And so they go to the table and Lankford is very much stuck on these policies. You have a Senator Murphy and a Senator Sinema in there as well in these conversations. They're trying to come with a compromise. But even in this compromise, they're getting a lot. Republicans are getting a lot in this compromise, quote unquote compromise, because it's really much more concessions to the Republican Party than anything else. We're talking about things that, again, would basically undermine our asylum system, make it really difficult for anybody who's seeking safety or fleeing persecution to go to a port of entry and claim asylum. So it's just more of the Trump tricks to make it just so that people are stuck at the border and jeopardizing lives, as we've seen before with policies in the past, like Remain in Mexico and other ones that just leave people in this limbo, in dangerous limbo, without any sort of access to legal or lawful pathways. Because again, I'll remind your listeners is that asylum is a legal right recognized internationally and recognized within our country. And they want to shut that down. So that's where we're at kind of now.
Right. So what is attractive to that, aside from the aid to Ukraine, what is attractive to that from the Democratic side, from what we would want in relation to immigration and border policy?
nothing's attractive there for the Democratic side, but this is like, to be completely frank, you have Senator Murphy with good intentions and Senator Sinema, who comes from the independent side, thinking that we have to sort of demonstrate that we could be tough on immigration. And we can be smart and tough without being cruel. And this deal doesn't get to that, sadly. But politically, it does get to one thing, which is demonstrating to the American people that we are serious about negotiating with Republicans. On the other hand, Republicans are not serious. They've never been good faith negotiators. They're not honest brokers. And we've been here before in past situations where Democrats have been willing to come to the table and say, hey, we are willing to compromise here. We would like for other things to happen. Just for instance, protection for Dreamers, protection for people who are fleeing dangerous situations. Let's come to the table. Let's talk about it. But they've never been honest brokers. They always tend to pull the rug under Democrats' feet and not get to anything because, as Trump proves again, this is a political issue. This is an electoral wedge issue for them. And they're not going to give Democrats an inch or a win on immigration.
Yeah, I want to talk about that one little piece, though, because I don't see any long-term electoral value for Democrats on doing that right now, right? Like, Democratic voters aren't asking for Democrats to come to the table with Republicans, given how cruel their policies have been in relation to immigration. So is there any kind of long-term value by demonstrating that?
There's a group of Democrats that believe that if we come to the table, if we show bipartisanship on this issue, then we can show voters that we're serious about it. And, there's an argument, obviously, for bipartisanship. I would love that. I mean, this is what we would need in the future, honestly, for both parties to come together and figure this issue out and update the laws, really put the country, the people forward, because immigration solves a lot of things for us. We have to tackle global migration. We have to think about how do we fill labor shortages? How do we take care of our aging parents? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to take care of others who are sick, who need help, and the healthcare industry needs more workers? Immigration solves a lot of those problems. But we don't have honest brokers right now. We don't have people on the other side of the aisle who are willing to break with Donald Trump at this moment and be the adults in the room on this important issue. So you're right. I absolutely agree that this is not something that's going to win voters over. Democrats, on the other hand, really need to sort of just speak up on the issue. When I look at our polling and research, the majority of voters don't know where Democrats stand on the issue because it's been Republicans who have been churning out this loud, obnoxious noise saying that Democrats are for open borders, migrants are flooding the border, et cetera. So they've been super loud and deafening. And for good reason, the American public doesn't really understand where Democrats stand or what they've done on immigration. They haven't really figured out what their message is. And honestly, it's easy because the majority of the American public is with them. They want humane, compassionate solutions. They want order at the border. They're not anti-immigrant. They're just anti-chaos. So they need to hear from Democrats and need to hear about those shared values and just solutions overall.
Right. And I guess my point was, it is really hard to come to the table to have a message that people can hear when you're kind of basically just kind of countering messages of cruelty, which is what Republicans have been putting on the table. But I want to go to the Democrats' position in a second. But first, I want to talk about how Republicans have been getting their messaging out there, right? Because during the 2022 midterm cycle, that anticipated red wave did not happen, right? Despite Republicans spending, nearly $200 million on anti-immigration advertising. I think it was something like $171 million. And that's their go-to scare tactic during elections. In 2016, I think it was the caravans. And now they're using words like invasion at the border, words like that. And I'm curious as to what's happening during the 2024 cycle, which we're in the midst of right now. Are they investing the same amount of money? Have they learned from their failed strategy in 2022 when they lost the midterms, essentially, that red wave didn't happen? How are they updating their strategy for 2024, Republicans?
They're not. They're just putting more money behind immigration. Yeah, you would think after learning the lessons that you just beautifully pointed out, which is in 2022, they spent over $171 million on anti-immigrant TV ads and millions more on digital ads. And they lost in a lot of these places where they spent this so much money on anti-immigrant ads, like Arizona, Nevada, et cetera. But they haven't learned that lesson. And what we're seeing in 2024 is that they're going to continue doubling down on this issue. They see it as their go-to number one winning issue against Biden. In fact, I was just reading a report from Ad Impact that said since 2023 to now, looking at just the GOP primary, presidential primary, and how much money has been spent on ads and on one issue, the number two issue most spent on was immigration. It was just 1 point behind the economy. So that's millions of dollars spent on this issue on immigration, you know, talking about how these candidates are going to be securing the border and how migrants are flooding the cities and bringing in drugs, et cetera. Those are the types of ads that they were putting out there. And this is just kind of a test run for what Trump is going to be putting out and other right-wing candidates. Ad Impact also projected that about $10.2 billion is going to be spent in 2024 on advertising, on political advertising. That's huge. That's on steroids. And to be honest, I'm really scared about how much of that is going to be spent on anti-immigrant ads. And in a closed off conversation with Ad Impact, I asked him, where do you think immigration is going to land? And he said, look, for Democrats, it's going to be economy and reproductive rights. And for Republicans, it'll likely be immigration and crime.
Yeah, which they link, right? This sounds so terrible to say, but I long for the days when we were shocked. If you can remember those days, remember in 2016 when Trump was saying those things on the campaign, we were like, there's no way this guy can win. He's saying the most shocking, inhumane things about immigrants and immigration. And, you know, now look where we are. Like, he's mainstreamed that rhetoric for the Republican Party. And so I long for those days where we're like, oh my God, I can't believe someone said that.
100%. Yeah, no, I mean, I couldn't believe when he was talking about, you know, bringing back Operation, quote unquote, white back, very racist word and policy from the Eisenhower days. I mean, and that just was like, it just didn't seem to resonate with people, you know, or didn't seem to be surprising to even folks in the media that he just said that. That was a horrible operation that deported and locked up families and people who had been here for a long time. It included even capturing some U.S. citizens in the mix of this. And then he's talking about also, you know, propping up detention camps all throughout the country. In other words, he's talking about internment camps. How are we okay with this? How are we not surprised by this?
Right. And just to go back to Abbott for a second, and then we'll move on. But, you know, that Supreme Court order that he's defying was simply asking to not be harmful, to remove razor wire, right? This is where the debate is. You're just saying, you know, we can't really kill people. We can't maim people and make it so that they might drown.
Absolutely. It's so crazy to think that there's this governor who is willing to defy the U.S. Supreme Court and say, no, this is a national security issue, it's a Texas security issue, and we're going to be cruel about it as well. It is such an affront to who we are as a country, to be honest. But it also begs the question and also challenges our party to be even bolder in how we respond, which is we have to be able to talk about immigration in a way that brings us back to a time where we're talking about it as something that bolsters our economy, that is crucial to our democracy, that is important part of how we look to the future and solve the big problems. Part of that narrative isn't out there, to be honest, you know, and we need to bring it back.
And, you know, to be fair, this is a prime time for Democrats to have a cohesive message because they have an audience that's ready to listen. You know, it's very similar to the debates that we're having on abortion in that Republicans, again, are not listening to the majority of voters on immigration, just like they aren't listening to them on abortion, because the majority of Americans want some kind of reasonable path to citizenship for immigrants. They want a humane asylum process. They want something positive for dreamers. And this is not what Republicans are doing. So if Democrats can get that messaging out there, that would be great. And so I'm just curious, if the majority of voters are for some kind of positive immigration policy in favor of things that are humane, things that are rational, things that work long term, who are Republicans then catering to?
They're trying to get across, one, to their rabid base, you know, who believe that the people who come to this country shouldn't look like you or I, that they shouldn't be coming from Latin America and predominantly Black countries either. So they're speaking to that base. You know, sadly, there is a base of people in America who believe that, who believe in the great replacement theory. And so there's that base. And then there's the other group of voters who are maybe in the suburbs, maybe they're moms, maybe they're concerned dads, or maybe they're just a little out of touch with what immigration means to this country, or are hearing too much of a bad thing and that it's getting too close to their communities. So he is speaking to their anxieties, their stress. I often find in my research and when I'm talking to voters or advertising to them, you know, it's not really the issue of immigration. We're just like you and me, stressed about something, insecure about our future. They might be worried about, you know, things not going well financially for them, etc. And so Trump and folks like Stephen Miller and others capture that imagination of, well, you know who's to blame for this. And so they scapegoat immigrants. They use these scare tactics, a lot of fear mongering. And suddenly immigration is the issue that is affecting them. Even though they may be, like, for instance, voters in New Hampshire with a population with limited immigrants in their state, far away from the southern border, but yet immigration is worrying them. It was the top issue for Republican primary voters there, you know, including some moderate Republicans. That's a problem because he's using that issue to really exacerbate their anxieties. It is part of their formula, using an issue, creating a scare tactic, a boogeyman for them that they can sort of blame. And then you have the hero being Trump and others who are going to save them by, you know, fighting back this threat, the threat of the other. So that's who they're going after, you know. That's who they're really going after, is this, the base, plus these independents and swing voters who might be stressed about other issues, but immigration is being used as a scare tactic for them.
Right. But again, those people are in the minority. If you look at the numbers, I think it's something like it's above 60%, 65% of people who want some path to citizenship. So, mm-hmm. You know, my presumption is that they are trying to grow that category of people and to get to other demographics, to fearmonger those demographics into fearing a more, I guess, humane immigration policy. But I do want to talk about the Democratic position, because like we've talked about and like you've alluded to, the problem mainly is that Republicans are taking up all of the air in the room. They're taking up the whole debate because they're loud and they're chaotic. And so if you were to ask me if I could restate what the Democratic position is on immigration and border policy, I would just say basically it's counter messaging to the Republican cruelty. But beyond that, I can't really tell you what that is because there's so much noise coming from the other side, right?
You know, Democrats, if they position themselves well, it is talking about, one, acknowledging that there is a problem. Yes, our immigration system is broken. and then pivoting to what those solutions are. Yes, we need a path to citizenship for Dreamers and other long-settled immigrants who have been waiting for Congress to deliver action. They want to be able to create order at the border through solutions that invest in more border infrastructure, for instance, you know, processing centers, more border officials to be able to process asylum claims, creating a whole processing system at the border that allows for us to sort of mitigate the flow of migration. Those are solutions that people support. Those are solutions that allow people to remain united, to remain together, families to be able to come through some sort of lawful pathway into the country without having to trek through some dangerous journey to get there. If Biden actually spoke about some of these solutions that he's already worked on and delivered on, everything from reuniting families to creating humanitarian parole for people who are stuck right now in dictatorships, these are solutions that people like, because it is talking about ways that create lawful pathways and also speak to our compassion as well as a country that's always been a nation of immigrants. You know, when we talk about those shared values and solutions that people can imagine, that's where the Democrats are in a better place. They can be for humane border security, and they could be for a path to citizenship for Dreamers and others who have been here for a long time. So if they stayed in those space, acknowledging that something has to be done at the border and something needs to be done here within the United States, they're in a good place. And that's what they can be for, and they are for. They just need to talk about it more.
Do you think there's a bit of trepidation on the part of Democrats to talk about this more openly and some of the things that you've just pointed out that the Biden administration have done and some of the policies that they've been floating? Is there a bit of reluctance to talk about it because, you know, of the nervousness that Republicans will hit them on one of their main talking points going into 2024? So they're trying to downplay it so that they don't get dinged and get hit with, you know, $100 million worth of ads in relation to this.
100%. I mean, because when you think about it, and I think you pointed it out perfectly, what you're getting at is that immigration is a complex issue. It really is. It's a complex issue when you're actually legislating on it. But when you're talking about to the American people, you don't have to wordsmith the fact that you're for border security that's humane and orderly, and that you're for a path to citizenship. They shouldn't be scared to say these things out loud. And they should also be bold enough to also contrast themselves against their opponents who are for family separation, who are for cruel policies that would just shut down this country and make it harder for people to get here and harder to meet our economic demands. You know, they have to be able to sort of center their messaging on a formula: shared values, solutions, and contrasting themselves against Republicans. That's the formula. When I talk to Democrats, I'll stick to that. You don't have to go into, you know, explaining how legislation works. We get stuck really on that. And it's not just candidates and members of Congress and others. It's also advocates. We get stuck in the minutiae of, wait, if they're saying border security, we're talking their language. No, you're just talking the language of the American people, which is, does everybody want a secure border? Yes, of course, even I do. But I also want something that is manageable, that is orderly, and that is humane. And we can talk about that. Those are shared values with the majority of the American people. And we could talk about the people that are here, who, when everybody looks around, most Americans look around, they see immigrants in one form or another, whether it's the Haitian American healthcare worker or the farm worker in California who came from Mexico. They're familiar with who the immigrant in America is and who they've evolved to be. And they could look back to their ancestors as well. And so if you tap into that, the emotional and the logical, you're in a good place. And I think Democrats shouldn't fear that. They should stick to the formula, be disciplined, just as disciplined as the Republicans are. Their whole thing is just being disciplined on being cruel. We should be disciplined on being sensible.
Right. That's really well put. And you alluded to something else that we don't talk about very often, is that not only do Democrats have the risk of being attacked from the right, but also from the far left, right? If you say anything in relation to, you know, for instance, I'll give you this as an example, you know, one stance that was being floated around at some point was that we should help South American countries stabilize their government, stabilize their economy so that people are less inclined to migrate to the US. And some people saw that stance as less welcoming and possibly cruel, right? So where do we stand there? Because it kind of seems implausible to absorb, you know, people from all of the countries that are having political issues in South America, right? You mentioned Haiti, which is, you know, they're kind of at a political crisis right now. Mm-hmm. So what's our stance there?
Look, my family's from Nicaragua, and currently right now we have a dictator in Nicaragua who is making it really impossible for people to eat. And so, which is why you saw an increase of migrants coming from Nicaragua, Venezuela, Cuba, Haiti. Those are some of the primary countries. And why, to your point, is that they're really unstable countries. There's dictators. There's economic devastations there due to natural disasters or political violence, etc. And, you know, to those that say that it is cruel to talk about stabilizing these countries, they're not really thinking about the people who are there. Many of these people would like love nothing more than to stay in their homes and continue to thrive. But when you have these kinds of governments, and we have to be not the police, an international police force, but rather be able to work with the region, with the surrounding countries who are also feeling the impact of these the instability in these countries, to be able to create regional solutions. And again, this is one thing that the Biden administration hasn't done a great job in eloquently talking about it so much, is that they have created alliances and they have created resolutions, and they've been investing in some of these countries on creating opportunities and processing centers and other types of creative solutions to help people in the region deal with the issues of global migration, but also the root causes of forced migration. You know, there's a reason that he's talked to the president of Mexico, to the prime minister in Canada. These are all things that they're working on and looking, because they have to do it, because if we want to be able to solve the issues of global migration in the future, then we have to start talking with our partners in the international community. And they have been doing that. And it's important, because we don't live in a world that's not going to be affected also by climate change. And what we're going to start seeing more and more is climate refugees. So this is all really much connected. And we have to be able to sort of think about new and creative solutions. We can't be stuck in the past. I know that the United States has an ugly past of interfering in countries. But when we have presidents that can listen to us, when we have presidents that are willing to work with the international community in a conducive way, we need to do that, because the problems are just going to become bigger and much more challenging than ever before.
Have the Republicans, their surround sound messaging strategy on, you know, fear mongering around immigration, has it begun to chip away at other demographics, you know, other than, you know, what you typically think of as their demographic, you know, white conservative Southern voters, right? Have they started to chip away at other demographics like Black voters or Latino voters with their anti-immigration messaging?
Sadly, yes. When we look at particularly some Black and Latino voters, you know, the online misinformation and the way that the right wing is able to leverage that through media like Fox News and everything, and then the online influencers who also leverage bot-like activity, etc., they put out these different kinds of messages, very scare tactics kind of message that one, for instance, to Latino voters, oh, look at Biden, he's doing this for other people and not thinking about Latinos who have been hardworking and been here for years in the country. He's not doing anything for them. All he's doing is opening the borders and allowing these other immigrants to come into the country, you know, use Social Security aid or whatever, you know, they create this sort of zero-sum game of competition between communities, trying to divide them. That's been the case, for instance, in Democratic-led cities like Chicago, where there's been migrants bused to Chicago, and you suddenly start seeing, you know, that there's aid going to the migrants on resettling them, on figuring out where they can be housed and everything. And suddenly you have some Black citizens in Chicago complaining about how their issue is being forgotten, housing issue is being forgotten, they're not being invested in, their communities are being left behind, etc. That is all part of the Republican strategy. Divide the community, distract them from the real issues, distract them from who is actually creating the chaos. And so they're weaponizing immigration in order to divide these communities and demoralize their enthusiasm for Democrats. And I'm not going to say it's working at a large scale, but it is something concerning that this is one of the forms that they're using immigration to really reach some of these key voters in within these blocks of the electorate.
So I know that Immigration Hub has some strategies for the upcoming election and for this election year. What are some of the winning strategies and messages that you think will work for Democrats going into November?
You know, we do a lot of research and we do a lot of message testing, head-to-head messaging, and create ads and everything to really tell us what speaks to the American people on this issue. And we'll continue to push Democrats to lean in, go on offense on this issue, talk about acknowledging the problem, which is that we do have a broken immigration system, pivoting to the solutions that are working, pivoting to what Democrats have done on the issue, and contrasting themselves from Trump and Republicans on the issue, showing what's at stake, where Democrats stand on this, and continuing to saturate that message as much as possible. If they follow the formula of hitting on acknowledging the problem, talking about shared values, humane and orderly solutions, and hitting back at Republicans, they're in a good place. They need to be disciplined. They can do this. The majority of the American people are with them. They just need to talk about the issue. Lean in, be unafraid, be bold, and they'll win people. They'll win over critical voters that they need to pick up. As you know, Jen, this is a numbers game. In a lot of places, 100 votes counts. It could swing an electoral race. And there are voters in battleground states who need to hear Democrats talk about immigration. And it is important for them to lean in and talk about it and contrast themselves against Republicans. And they will win these voters over. They don't need to try to out-Republican the Republican or be just as extreme. That's not going to get them the votes. They need to hear that they have the better solution and they are much more in touch with the values of Americans than their Republican opponents.
Yeah, I like that. Lean in and be bold. That would apply to so many other issues.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, Beatriz Lopez, thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed our conversation. And, you know, I'm really optimistic about what's going to happen in November. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for talking about this important issue. Not many people talk about it or want to discuss it the way that you do. And I thank you for that.